So today's reading can be found in our center bulletin, Psalm 119, 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that have come from your mouth. I rejoice in your following statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Thank you very much. And for those of you who are new, you can also find an outline of the talk this morning on your notice sheets. So we're in the middle of a very short series at the moment called Struggles Christians Face. If you're visiting us, then our normal practice is to work expositionally through passages of Scripture and different books of God's Word. Very occasionally, we take a break from doing that, and we're just at the end of one of those breaks at the moment as we're looking at three common pastoral issues that Christians face. We've already looked at insomnia and addiction, and those talks can be found on our website if you're interested. And this morning we're looking at the subject of pornography. So why don't I lead us in a prayer as we come to God's word now. Father, as we were just singing about, your word is indeed a lamp for our feet and a light to our path and teaches us how to live. As we come to it this morning, we want to consciously turn ourselves towards Christ. We are aware of our need for help and grace and forgiveness. And so we ask that you might speak to us this morning and that you might give us your power and your grace as we seek to live for you. And we ask all of those things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we obviously come to a very difficult issue, but a very important issue as well, and that is the issue of internet pornography. And there's no doubt that this is one of the big pastoral issues of our time. So we can see this simply in the number of websites that exist. So in 1997, there were 900 pornographic websites on the internet. In 2011, there were an estimated 2.5 million. So that just shows something of the proliferation of pornography online. And we can also see this proliferation in the numbers of people who are using them. So in one recent survey in the USA, 93% of men and 62% of women had accessed erotic material online before the age of 18. And those kinds of statistics are also borne out right across the whole board. And of course, it's not just online. There's lots of other forms of pornography as well. It could be novels or comics or movies as well. And it's also a problem, very much a problem, within the Christian church too. So I know one well-known church leader in the UK. He's a pastor, and he's pastor of a church which will be known to a number of you here, and he estimates that 90% of the young men in his congregation struggle with pornography at some level. Other pastors estimate that pornography is an issue for around a quarter of the people in their congregations at any given time. And so this is a really big issue. It's also a really big issue in Hong Kong, but yet very rarely mentioned and very rarely spoken about. And part of the reason this has become a big issue is the internet and the advent of the mobile phone, which has completely changed the nature of this whole debate. So to put things very bluntly, when I was growing up, if you wanted to buy pornography, you needed to go into an actual store and you needed to pay money and ask for it and actually purchase it. It was actually quite a difficult process, probably. Now, as a result of the internet and mobile phones, pornography is easily available to anyone who wants it, whenever they want it, and it's completely anonymous. You can do it in the privacy of where you are on your mobile phone, and no one need ever know. And so this has become a really big issue for us. It's a problem for all ages, and it's a problem for both men and women. Many people often assume that this is just a male struggle, but it's not. And this actually makes it even harder for women who do struggle with it to come forwards and find the help and the care that they need. This morning, there will be a number of you here who are struggling with this at the moment. And if that's you, then you will know something of the guilt and pain and loneliness and shame of that struggle. You may be someone who's tried to give up many times but yet you feel that nothing's worked, and you may wonder, can I ever be free from this? Others of you here will know people who are struggling at the moment and be in a position to help and support them. And then, of course, even if we aren't struggling with pornography, we may well be struggling with other kinds of lust, and the same principles we'll see will apply. And really, my main message for you this morning is this, that there is hope. There's even hope for us if we feel like we've tried and failed and that nothing has worked. And that hope is only to be found in Jesus Christ. So then what I'd like to offer is basically three steps to purity. And so number one, Jesus calls us to recognize the ugliness of porn. Jesus calls us to recognize the ugliness of porn. This is a kind of point that ought to be obvious, but in my experience, we often try and make excuses for our use of pornography. And so we need to be completely convinced in our minds and hearts of the sinfulness and ugliness of porn if we're ever going to have any chance of quitting. So why is pornography wrong? Well, I've put three reasons there on your sheets. And the first of them is that porn is a distortion of God's good gift. So a good working definition of pornography would be this: explicit material designed to promote sexual desire outside of God's design. Explicit material designed to promote sexual desire outside of God's design. And we can see, of course, God's good design for marriage and sex and sexuality in the first few chapters of the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we see that God created us as sexual beings, a male and female. And one of the aims of this, of course, was that we might go forth and multiply and reproduce and have kids and fill the earth. We also see that God instituted marriage between a man and a woman as the context for sex. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25, God says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And so it's really important to say that God is not anti-sex. He's in favour of sex, and sex in the context of marriage is really something to be celebrated and enjoyed and revelled in. And we can see this fact, that's the whole book of Song of Songs in God's word is completely given over, really, to the whole theme of love and sex. We may wonder why God confines sex to marriage. But I think the reason is that God knows that sex is something unique and powerful, and therefore it's harmful to us outside of that context of commitment. God is not a killjoy, but our loving creator who knows what is best for us, and our lives work best when they're lived in accordance with his will. And so it's really not hard to see how pornography is a distortion of this. God intended sex to be relational. Porn is profoundly non-relational. And then porn is also sex divorced from marriage. So the whole point of porn is that you're looking at someone that you're not married to. And Jesus is very clear that this is sin. Matthew 5, verse 28, Jesus says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So that verse makes it clear that it's not just a physical act of sex outside marriage that's wrong, but also the desire. And that obviously rules out porn. So hopefully you can see that porn is a distortion of God's good gift of sex and faithfulness within marriage. Then we also see that porn is selfish. So Ephesians 5, verse 3, Paul writes, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity," he's writing to Christians, "or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." So note how that verse links sexual sin and greed. This is obvious, really. When someone's indulging in porn, they're not thinking about the good of the person on the screen, are they? They're not thinking about how they can love that person, about how they can pray for that person, about how they can really share the gospel with that person. No, they're only thinking in terms of me. What am I getting out of this? My fantasies, my gratification, my appetites, me getting what I want. You see, porn is also selfish. It's greedy. We also see that porn is harmful. And porn is harmful in a number of ways. First of all, I believe porn is harmful to the person on the screen. They're only a body to look at and nothing more. It's true that you can find some women who will defend the industry, but for many more, it's clear that it's something they were forced into and abused and made to actually do things against their will. Then I think porn is also harmful for the user. So for one thing, it leads to the user feeling addicted and enslaved, often guilty or ashamed. If the person using it is a Christian, then it leads to them feeling far from God and entrapped and enslaved by their sin. And then there's also a lot of evidence to suggest that people move on to more and more hardcore images the more they view it and the more they watch. In one recent survey, 56% of young men who were interviewed, I think it was in the UK, said that their tastes had got more deviant and more extreme as they had gone on. Then pornography is also harmful for wider society as well. Children, of course, are being exposed to pornography younger and younger. Some of the young men that I would meet have actually often been exposed to porn when they were as young as 8. Porn also leads to objectifying women and seeing them as sex objects. It's the opposite of Christianity, where Christian men are to treat younger women as sisters in Christ with absolute purity, which is what it says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 2. Then pornography also harms marriage as well. If you are a husband who is using porn, then porn will harm your marriage. It will inevitably lead to an emotional distance between you and your wife, which will inevitably lead over time to hurt and pain. Many who are often single think, I'll look at porn now while I'm single, but as soon as marriage comes along, I'll start to have sex with a real person instead. However, all the evidence is that you'll not be able to stop, and there may well be problems with sex in the marriage as well. Ironically, those who indulge in porn are often unable to ultimately enjoy the intimacy that they crave. And so hopefully you can begin to see some of the seriousness of pornography addiction and what a serious issue this really is. This is a distortion of God's good plans, it's selfish, and it's extremely harmful. In this context, Proverbs 5 and verse 21 to 23 has a startlingly modern ring to it. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Now, I suspect that many of us here hopefully will already be convinced that pornography is wrong, even if we're those who continue to actively struggle with it day by day. But I really want to underline this point because I think people are increasingly making excuses for this, even in the Christian world. I'm not actually harming anyone. I'm not actually sinning by having sex with a real person. It's all stuff that's kind of out there on the screen. It's only images. Viewing pornography enables me to control my lust while I'm single, and so on. But we need to say that we will never, ever quit porn unless we are convinced in our minds and our hearts that this is something that is wrong. And so are you convinced that viewing pornography is wrong for the Christian? I'm not saying that there may well be other factors as well, not least wider cultural issues or psychological reasons, or maybe someone's even sinned against us by introducing us to porn at an early age. But the bottom line is that if we're viewing porn, we need to take responsibility for that. We're not victims, but we are perpetrators and sinners. However, the good news is that there is hope. So we also see that Jesus calls us to know and trust the gospel. And here we see, first of all, that the gospel really is amazing news. So the message of the gospel is that God made us to know him and love him and be in a loving relationship with him. Yet we also know that that is not how things continued. And we rebelled against God as our loving creator. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden at the beginning of the book of Genesis, and they decided to rule their own lives instead. And we, of course, have inherited Adam's nature after him. We want to do our own thing and go our own way and naturally ignore God. As Romans 3 verse 23 summarizes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the predicament that we now find ourselves in. We are all sinners. Those who use pornography are sinners. Those who do not use pornography are also sinners. We might be proud, we might be judgmental of others, we might be self-righteous, or we might be sexual sinners in all sorts of other ways. None of us can say that we are sexually pure. All of us, if we're honest, have looked at others with lust and greed. And the Bible is clear that God is good and holy, and therefore he cannot ignore sin. Sin must be punished, and so we rightly stand under his wrath and condemnation. Yet, the great news of the gospel is that God didn't just leave us there. He sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross to take our place in a wonderful exchange. Christ on the cross takes our punishment, the punishment that we deserved and had coming to us, so that we might be forgiven as soon as we repent and trust in him. And this really is glorious news. It means that every sin that you've ever committed can be forgiven because it's been laid on Christ, including all of your sexual sin, including all of the porn that you've looked at, as soon as we repent and trust in Christ. We can see a great example of this in the Bible when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Paul lists there a long list of sins that had obviously been common amongst the Christians in Corinth, including many sexual sins. And then he says these words in verse 11. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So you can see what Paul's saying no matter what your past, if we're Christians, we are washed, we are sanctified, which means being made holy. We are justified, which means being declared righteous or being declared perfect in God's sight. And so if we're Christians, we've been washed. Our sins have been wiped out, they've been washed away, moved as far as the east is from the west. We've been forgiven and made perfect in Christ. As a great song that I was listening to this week says, he welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Isn't that a great lyric? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. God's mercy is always greater than our sin and transgression. And this really, therefore, gets to the heart of it. Jesus took our sin on the cross so that we can be declared righteous and free. All of your sexual sin can be forgiven, no matter what it is. And that's truly great news. And then this amazing news leads to amazing results. Again, there's a lot we could mention here. I just want to mention a couple of things that I think have particular relevance to pornography. And the first is that if you are in Christ, you have a new identity. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 makes clear that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If we've repented of our sin and trusted in Christ, we now have a new identity. We are one of God's holy people, as it says in Ephesians 5 verse 3. See, one of the devil's great tactics is often to attack us with lies. He comes at us, particularly in regard to something like pornography, and says, you're on your own. This is a sin that you can't admit to anyone. If those people at church knew what you were really like, I'm sure they wouldn't want anything to do with you. If you're struggling with pornography, then, well, maybe you're not even a Christian at all. And the devil comes at us with lies like those. And so we need to remember who we are. We need to remember our identity in Christ. If you've repented of our sin and trusted in him, we have been made new. We are now a new creation. Yes, we are going to continue to struggle with sin, but yet our sin no longer defines us. We are not what we once were if we are in Christ. We are no longer to think of ourselves as a porn addict, for instance. As we've seen recently from the book of Colossians, we've now been united with Christ. We have died to our old way of life and have a new identity in him. And particularly for those who struggle with porn, thinking of the new identity in Christ is really crucial and really helpful. Number two, we also have a new lifestyle. So when we come to him, Christ not only forgives us, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit who lives in us and helps us to change. You know, maybe we feel like we've tried many times to come off porn, but none of them has lasted. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel discouraged and you lack hope. But we need to remember that we have the Holy Spirit living and working within us. We also have the power of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's saying there's power in God's word to combat sin in your life. The more that we read it, the more that we discuss it, the more that we immerse ourselves in it and hear it preached and meditate on it, the more God's word goes to work in us and makes us more and more holy. So hopefully you can begin to see just some of what God has done for us in the gospel. We have an amazing message, God's not left us in sin, but he's sent Christ to die for us and redeem us. And there's amazing results for us as well, for those of us who are Christians, a new identity and the offer of a new life through the power of the Holy Spirit as he uses God's word. And so if we're struggling with pornography this morning, let's take a few moments, maybe just to allow these truths to sink in. This is one of the authors on your sheets, Heath Lambert. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he paid for all of our sin. Every instance of treasuring images of sexual immorality in our hearts, every glance at pornography, all of our lustful gawking, everything is paid for by Jesus in his death for sinners. So let me ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for all of your sexual sin? And then we also need to keep looking to Jesus. I love the story of the teenager that used to play computer games all day. He played computer games every day, and his parents used to try and do everything they could to encourage him to stop playing computer games. They tried bribing him, they tried offering him rewards, they tried making all kinds of threats. But nothing seemed to work. This kid was just playing his computer games all day. But then one day, lo and behold, he miraculously stopped. And what had happened was that he now had a girlfriend. Now he had no time for his computer games anymore. His heart had been captured by a greater love. And that's a great thing for us to understand. If we are Christians, that our heart has now been captured by a greater love. The way that we can defeat porn is not just by saying no to it and trying to be really self-disciplined and self-controlled and not going there. Rather, it's by falling more and more in love with Christ. Our heart's being captured by a greater love. And as our appreciation of Christ grows, who he is, what he's done for us on the cross, then he will melt our hearts more and more and our desires will gradually change. And porn won't just be so exciting for us anymore. This is Heath Lambert again. You need to be the kind of person who fights for a closer relationship with Jesus more than you fight against pornography. Okay, you might need to read that again. You need to be the kind of person who fights for a closer relationship with Jesus more than you fight against pornography. It's not just saying no to porn, it's also saying yes and striving for a closer relationship with Christ. A living, breathing relationship with Jesus will drive porn out of your life quicker than anything else. When you turn your eyes to Jesus, there isn't room for anything else in your heart because he fills it up. And he then goes on to share something of his own experience. The major milestone for me was when I was driving in the middle of the night and I passed the largest pornographic video store on planet Earth. As the store came into view, I had two opposing thoughts. The first was that at that moment I had the best opportunity to view pornography that anyone could ever want. It was the middle of the night, I was in the middle of nowhere, and nobody was around. I could stop and look at pornography for hours and there would be no consequences. This was the sort of opportunity I would have dreamed of just a few short years ago. But even as I considered this opportunity, there was a second, more powerful thought. I didn't want to go in. I really didn't want to see pornography. I had no interest in what they were selling at that store. Over the years of fighting, prayer, and accountability, God had been faithful and had truly changed my desires. Though I could have looked at all the porn I wanted to, I didn't desire it any longer. I was free. And the truth is that by God's grace, that can be our experience too. As we draw near to Christ, as we grow in our love for him, as we immerse ourselves in his word, as we pray, as we fellowship with his people, we will change. We can know the glorious freedom from slavery that Christ brings. Now, of course, that will still be a massive struggle. We might relapse from time to time. That's relatively common in people's experience. It might take months or even years. But yet God will be faithful and he can change our desires. The main thing is not where we are. The main question is really, are we making progress? Are we going forwards? Is the curve gradually going upwards? Are we keeping going with God's help, dependent on him? But then what practical steps do we need to take? And so finally, we also see that Jesus calls us to radical action. Now, it's vitally important that we're here at this point in the light of the previous one. We need to lay the foundation of the gospel and drawing close to Christ. before we think about our own action. But Jesus is clear that we can also take radical action to help us overcome an addiction to porn. The key verse here is Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, we need to be clear here, of course, that Jesus is not actually calling us to cut off our limbs. I just wanted to make sure you've all got that. Several people throughout church history have run into problems in their interpretation of this verse to being overly literal. Please don't do that. Jesus is deliberately using strong language to make a point. And his point is that it's much better to take radical action now than it is to suffer a worse fate later on. You're much better to take radical action now rather than suffer a worse fate later on. Jesus is speaking here in the context of sexual sin, and he makes it clear that there's two options: radical action now that will lead towards life, or no action now that will lead towards disaster. And Jesus is simply saying, do whatever it takes to get rid of sin from your life. Take radical action now. What might radical action mean for us? Well, I'd like to share some ideas more practically as we close. So number one, take practical steps. Are there practical steps that we can take to help us deal with porn? So for instance, if you're tempted to look at porn late at night, maybe when you get in from going out, make sure that you get to bed earlier. If we are tempted when we're feeling lonely, or we're feeling depressed or feeling low, then we can make sure we call someone. We can make sure we involve ourselves in some other activity instead, like going running, playing sport, reading a book, or maybe it's serving more at church. So we need to take practical steps. Number two, we can also limit our access. There are lots of things we can do here. We may not be able to get rid of our mobile phones, although let me say that if somebody was to get rid of their mobile phone because viewing pornography on it was a problem for them, then that would be absolutely the best thing that they could actually do, because godliness is surely more important than the convenience of having a mobile phone. But we may not be able to get rid of our mobile phones, but we can actually do something to limit our access to pornography on them. And so there's various kinds of accountability software out there. I've put a range of different websites there on your outlines. One particularly good one is the one called Covenant Eyes, software like Covenant Eyes. They usually filter out objectionable material so that you can't access it, or it's more difficult to access it. And they also send a record of websites that you've visited recently to an accountability partner. And then there may also be other things that we can do as well, like not place ourselves in the way of temptation. So just speaking personally, in my own life, there are movies I don't watch. There are news articles that I end up not reading. There are places that I won't go because I know that they wouldn't be helpful for me in this regard. And so we need to know where our weaknesses and where our vulnerabilities are. We can't stop the sort of thoughts from coming into our minds, but we can stay away from places that are more likely to feed a temptation to be ungodly. I wonder what would it look like for you to limit your access this week. Then very importantly, I think we also need to seek appropriate accountability. Now, even as I mention that, there's probably all sorts of thoughts arising in your minds as to why we wouldn't want to seek accountability. We are worried about what that person might think. We are embarrassed about knowing that they struggle with, knowing that we struggle with something like pornography. We aren't sure how they would respond. We might think that we've already tried that accountability stuff and it's not worked. Or maybe we're really spiritual about it and we say, well, I just wouldn't want to burden somebody else with my problems or my issues. But the fact is, it's virtually impossible to win a victory over porn on your own. It's virtually impossible to win a victory over porn on your own. Galatians 6 and verse 1 and 2 reminds us, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, the word is actually overwhelmed or ensnared. Brothers, if someone is overwhelmed in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, which is, of course, the law of love. That verse is clear, that if we're being overwhelmed by a certain sin, ensnared in it, then we need other Christians to help bring us out of that. We simply aren't meant to struggle with these kind of things on our own. We're to bear one another's burdens. Who should we make ourselves accountable to? Well, I think the person that we should choose should be an older Christian. There should be someone of the same gender that we are, and there should be someone who's more spiritually mature than we are, who can offer genuine spiritual counsel and wisdom and help beyond yours. And if you don't know anyone suitable for you, then either Wayne or myself or somebody like Jeanette would be really happy to help out with that. But please do seek help. You know, a sin like pornography gets a lot of its power from its secrecy and doing it in private and nobody knowing about it. But as soon as it's exposed and brought out into the open, it loses a lot of the power it has. I've sat with guys and literally watched the relief on their faces as they confess and then realise that they are no longer alone in the struggle. So let me encourage you, seek help. God has given you brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given you a local church, so use it. And if someone speaks to you about this issue, then there are great chapters in all of the books mentioned on the sheets that will help you to respond to someone coming to you with love and grace and the purity of Christ. And particularly if you're a mature Christian, you should be equipped to actually do this well. And so I would exhort you to read some of those chapters. You know, one of my great prayers for Ambassador, is that we'd really be a church where we can be more transparent with each other about issues like this. We can share our struggles and we can really help one another grow in godliness. Now, I realise that there's lots of questions this morning I've not dealt with. Maybe your question hasn't been answered. Some important questions might be questions like, ought I to tell my spouse? If so, how much ought I to tell them? How can we protect our kids, our children and our young people? How much should we confess to an accountability partner, and so on and so on? And if you're interested in those questions, then feel free to come to lunch and you can ask me then, or you can drop me an email and I would be happy to cover some of that ground then as well. But just let me encourage you to do something practical this week. If this is a struggle for you, please don't let it go on. Seek help. Don't let another day or week pass without seeking help, struggling away in the privacy of your own room. Remember that sin is never inevitable. Christ is with us. Yes, the temptation is strong, but he is stronger and he has given us all that we need. And so for those of us who are struggling at the moment, there really is hope. And for all of us, if we're Christians, no matter what we're struggling with, let's remember that we will struggle now. That's the nature of the Christian life. We will be struggling against sin now. But one day we know that that struggle will end. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That reminds us that one day our struggles will be gloriously over and we will be like Christ. And that's a great encouragement. As one author concludes, if you are trusting in Jesus, pornography will never have the final say in your life. 45 zillion years from now, pornography will be nowhere on your mind as you perpetually behold the beauty of the spotless Lamb who was slain for your sin and mine. There is a day coming, and it's not far away, when you will see Jesus himself. When you see him, he will change you into his perfect likeness. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks for your word to us this morning. And especially we want to give thanks for the cross and for your grace, that there is forgiveness and mercy and love at the cross and the power that you give us to change. We pray that you would help us, whatever we're struggling with at the moment, whether that's pornography or lust or maybe something else entirely, that we might seek help and that we might look forward to that great day when we will be like Christ and we will see him in glory. We ask all of these things now, in Jesus' name. Amen.